Rebecca, God bless you. I want you to come and tell us about what God has been doing. And you just relax. You're among friends. And the time that I gave you is still okay. All right?
Okay, the time he told me this morning was 2 or 3 hours. But since Brother Matt told you that you would be at the fireworks in time, I'll keep it a little bit shorter than that. I did go down a year ago, July 23rd. I went down to start. Me, little quiet me, to stand up in front of classes grades 1 through 12 and teach music and art classes in the school. This is the Dominican Republic. It's on the same island as Haiti. And, of course, all of you would have heard about the earthquake in Haiti. The Dominicans, the Christian Dominicans in particular, had a very interesting view on why Haiti and why not them. And what they said was what people have probably heard, that the ground, the land of the country of Haiti was basically given to the devil. And that their take on it was God's hand of protection is not on that country. Even though there is more likelihood, scientifically, that they would have the stronger earthquakes in Haiti. But their take on it was God's hand of protection is not over that country. There were many, many accounts of how Christian leaders and Christians, pastors, and their families were miraculously saved through that earthquake. So this is what their opinion of it was, even though the Dominican Republic is not an evangelical country by any means. And they do have roots in Voodooism. It's mixed up now with Catholicism. They still claim God. And they said Haiti does not. So they believe that they have, that their country is protected because of that. I'm living in Juan Tomas under the star near the capital of Santo Domingo. And the country itself is made up of beaches, mountains. You'll see most of the pictures I have here, it's cloudy. It's because it's a very rainy country. Most of the year is the rainy season, it seems like. We only had a couple of months where we hardly got any rain. Or hardly. I'm not even sure how this English works anymore. You can see here at the... No, maybe you can't. I don't know if you can see the pictures of the men selling the sugar cane at the bottom of the picture over the pulpit. Yes, no. Many people make their living by selling things on the streets, produce. Do we have any first graders here, by the way? First graders. There's one. Who else? Stand up, please, so everyone can see our first graders. Okay. Our first graders here in America have better nutrition. You can sit down now. Than those in the Dominican Republic, so they are actually bigger. But in Juan Tomas, there was one day that I was out there, and these little bitty first graders from my class were out there shining shoes on the weekend to make money. I don't know what they did with that money, if they had to take it back to their family or if this was for them to buy their lunch at school or their lunch outside of school when the ladies come to sell it for the rest of the week. I don't know. But they're learning from a very early age. They have to earn money. And hopefully they're learning, which most of them don't, to use it wisely. A lot of them, when they get older, do start spending it on alcohol and drugs. And that's a major problem. This is some of the produce. There's a cherry tree right on the farm where I live, mango tree and banana trees. We also have pineapples for really cheap, really good, really sweet. The mangoes are wonderful. I can walk out the door in the morning and find mangoes on the ground and collect them as I wish. The downside is that these very same mangoes in this very same tree pictured here fall on the roof, on the metal roof, all night long. As soon as I'm asleep, they start. So it was a little bit of an experience when mango season started. Thankfully, this particular tree is done producing for now. Baseball is the sport of choice, and they do love other sports. The problem that we're finding in the school is we have high school dropouts who drop out to try to get in with major leagues, and the majority of them don't make it. Then they have no education to fall back on. So we're trying in the school to encourage them to finish their education in a Christian place with Christian teachers. It's a struggle, really. This is Santo Domingo in the more touristy section on a good traffic day. That's what it looks like. And this is just looking out across the rooftops. It's a mess with all the wires and things. They're not taught to take care of their country. Now we're heading out towards Juan Tomás, where I live. This is a town nearby outside of the capital called Villamaya. Heading out further to Juan Tomás. Yes, this is the road right here. And I think the cars are part fish. The boys out here are trying to direct traffic in hopes for getting tips. That's what they're doing. But this is what happens to our roads. They turn into rivers. And this is a picture of the river that's supposed to be a river when it got flooded. Okay, these are some pictures from the farm, Hacienda Caprina La Alpinita. It's a dairy goat farm. They recently got some pigs, so we've got some new piglets and a couple of little dogs that generally serve as watchdogs, somewhat. And this visitor on the upper left was in my apartment at night. I won the battle with a broom. The black moth is, it's a really large moth, but they're superstitious about it, that if you see one flying by, it means somebody's going to die. Not necessarily somebody you know, but they are very superstitious in that area, in the small villages especially. The toad, I really need two hands for this. It's about this big. Great big huge ugly things that don't move if you bump into them in the dark. In Juan Tomás, up on the right, that's a picture of the typical house. There are some that are in better condition, some that are in worse condition, falling down. And Juan Tomás Bible Church on the left. But right in this area where there's a lot of, they're steeped in Catholicism, superstition. There's even a witch doctor and traditions. We've got Fountain of Life School, which we can't necessarily call it a Christian school because the parents aren't Christians. They're sending their children to a mission school. And all the teachers are evangelical Christians with the goal of giving out the gospel and discipling. Every day there's devotionals in the classes. There's chapel. We had, in the last year, we had several students that actually did make a profession of faith. There are other students that sit in the back in chapel and just laugh. That it's the same way as it happens here, too, I think, that some of them just are so hardened. But God can get to them. And God has opened the doors to some of their hearts. The Saul right there, the musical Saul, that was in one of my music classes. I have become known for carrying odd things around for my art and music classes. And so the first day that I walked into class with a Saul in my hand, the students were all really wondering what I was going to do with that. But I was teaching them about making homemade instruments as part of the lesson. One of the ministries that some of the professors have with Fountain of Life School is discipling some of the high schoolers and then taking these discipled ones, teaching them how to disciple others, and going out on the other side of the village, and they've started a Bible school out there for younger kids. And they've had many of those kids come to Christ. They've had some of them start coming to the services at church. And it's been a real blessing. We're hoping to soon begin a children's program at the church that would so they would keep coming. School is not all teaching. There was a whole lot of preparation that went into it with teachers' meetings, a conference at the end of the year that was excellent, and the grade book, our enemy, the grade book. In the church, we were able to present the basic seminar, and it was a real blessing to our church, some that came from other churches to be at the seminar, and then we sent the seminar to another church, and God has really worked through the seminar. These are all concepts that I grew up with, or I grew up hearing from the time I was 13 at least, and was able to go to my first seminar. But a lot of them were hearing these for the first time, biblical principles. We enjoyed a visit from my family and Justin. Is Justin here? Yes, Justin's here. Oh, good. They made an impact when they were here, and they still talk about them. They really enjoyed it. They're used to American groups coming down, but this was a smaller group, and it was very personal for some of them. And so it was a blessing. All right, you already know that I have met somebody very special down there. We were thrown together in the same music ministry. Abel de la Cruz was working with some of the young people in Juan Tomas in music before I came. And so naturally we started working together. But we discovered that we have the same goals, the same vision, teaching that music is primarily for the glory of God. It's also scripturally for the edification of believers, and as Christians, we are to evangelize. We're to fulfill the Great Commission. And so these are three of our goals through music. We've been giving classes. We actually started this after the instruments came. And I don't really know who all was involved in that, but thank you very much. The string classes have been a blessing. This is where I've been able to have one-on-one time with students. And the young girl on the left, she's 12. Her name is Camila, and I would appreciate that if you would pray for her. She's very flighty. It's been hard to get her to settle down and get steady on something. But this is, her mother said that this is making a difference in her life. Learning violin is teaching her to be self-disciplined. Her father is not a Christian. He works in construction for the school, but at the same time he's resisted the gospel a whole lot of times. And it's hard for them on them as a family. For her mother, who is a Christian, but it's hard for them to stay consistent, to stay firm. And part of our goal with the private classes is to encourage, to disciple, and to strengthen them in the Christian faith, in their Christian walk. These are just some pictures of the classes in Juan Tomas. The young man in the middle is a Haitian. We have several Haitians, well, a community of Haitians in our village, and several of them attending the church. Another picture of the class. This is actually less than half of our students. Some of them were taking English classes at this time and weren't able to be there this particular day. Quisqueyana Baptist Church in Villa Maya, just down the road, is where Abel comes from. His brother is the pastor there, and they have also just started up with instruments in the church, as well as this children's choir that pictured here is new. They were ready to sing after only two rehearsals. They're just so excited and so ready. They have there's a violist that comes from 2 hours away that comes twice a week to teach violin in this church. The ones that want to play cello come to me in Juan Tomas. And they have 18 violin students that share five violins. Five viola students that share one viola. The cello students come to me to learn, but they can't take the cello home with them. There is one cello besides mine, and it stays in Juan Tomas where there are other students. It was here at this church that I learned what the Baptists there say and about the type of faith that they have. They said that God does things. God does things in their church. He really has worked in a mighty way, providing land for them to build a church, all sorts of things through prayer, because it is a very poor church. But they said one time, God lives in the Dominican Republic and just goes to visit the U.S. once in a while. Because when they pray, things happen. And they've had so many pastors from the U.S. say, we don't understand how this can be happening. That should have been impossible. We had our first strings performance just this last Sunday morning. And strings, and then a young pianist, and a couple of guitar players. Okay, I'm okay. Good. The string players performed for the first time with 2.5 months of practice, or 2.5 months of lessons. I shouldn't say practice because they don't all have instruments at home. So it was a blessing. It was a blessing for the church. It's been a blessing for them, for their families. One thing about it is all of the young people involved in the music program at Kiskeana Baptist Church are in an actual discipleship class in the church. They're required to join the discipleship class. In Juan Tomas, where we don't have so many people, and we're not to that point yet in the organization of the church, it's when we're there working with them, we try to disciple them at the same time in the meetings that we have with them in any individual time, because it is a very important thing. And we believe that the Great Commission is something that's a responsibility of every Christian, whether it's a preacher or a musician or just a layman. And something that's interesting is the word teach up at the top in Spanish translate, it's into make disciples. And a disciple follows the master. And so our goal is for evangelism, for discipleship, through music. And I don't know, it would take me a long time to just tell about all the things that God has done. It was when I first went, God started to use me to influence the Christian music that was there, because they do try to keep the worldly music out of the church, but then the Christian music from the U.S. was coming in, and they didn't necessarily recognize this as a problem. So I was able to get the Battle for Christian Music, a book, and out there for them to start reading. And they've started recognizing the problems with letting American Christian music that isn't true, that doesn't glorify God, into the church as well. So it's just all around been a wonderful experience, stressful at times, but wonderful. And we do feel like time is short. God's opened up a door of opportunity. And these young people and young adults and children are ready now for the gospel. They're ready now to be discipled, ready now to learn about good Christian music. And that's the goal. Now on another note, I'm returning to the Dominican Republic as a paid teacher. I'll be paid like the Dominican teachers are, which is roughly $200 a month, which is actually the exact cost of the rent. So I'm actually still raising support, but I'm going through Crooked Creek, and there's the address. I put contact information for me if you want to get in touch with me while I'm on the field. I've got the email, which I check daily and hopefully respond to daily. The blog I update once a week. At least my family will make me update it once a week. And I have a cell phone down there. I don't recommend you calling it unless you get a special card to call it, because otherwise it would be very expensive. Snail mail is, it's kind of hard on you to pay what it costs to get it to me. And then I have a fee that I have to pay on top of that. So if you feel the need to mail something, talk to my family. But just for other purposes, this contact information should keep us in touch. I want to thank you for your continued prayers and support. All the support that I've had all year long, your prayers, your encouragement. There were several times that I got something in the mail or got an email that I needed just at the right time. And I think sometimes, I don't know, sometimes in the little school and farm and church bubble that I'm in, sometimes it's easy to forget that I'm in the Dominican Republic, that I'm in a country with witchcraft and things like that. And then things happen to remind me. But there have been people that, Dominicans, that have gone out of their way to protect me from their culture, from learning things, from seeing things that they felt like I didn't need to see. But anyway, I don't know. What else should I say?
I think what I like to hear, Rebecca, just pretend that this is one of your classes there. This is a class of, say, elementary age kids, and you're beginning to introduce them to music. And just kind of visualize that and teach them, but teach them in Spanish. Of course, you'll have to interpret your Spanish as well, okay?
We have an interpreter.
We have an interpreter, all right.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Then, just so that we will not get false accusations, would you come and interpret? All right, would you come and do that, please, ma'am? All right, come on. All right.
Out of curiosity, when you came to church this morning, how did people greet you, or how did you greet people? What is the American way of greeting somebody in church when you see them for the first time that day? They've asked me in the Dominican Republic, and I tell them I think it's this, but I'm not sure. I don't remember, actually. What's the first thing somebody said to you this morning?
Morning, how are you?
Okay.
Hey, how y'all?
Okay. What they do there is they say, the first thing they say might be hola, but or buenos dias, but then they say, Dios te bendiga, or Dios le bendiga, God bless you. The other person responds, amen. And then they get into, how are you, how's that? But just an interesting difference, and they were horrified when I told them we didn't do that every Sunday morning. okay. Buenos dias.
Good morning.
My elementary students are supposed to stand up and say buenos dias. Let's try it again. Buenos dias. Okay, pueden sentarse.
You may sit down.
And then they say gracias.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, hoy vamos a hablar acerca de la música. ¿Qué es la música? ¿Para qué es la música? Oh, sorry.
Today we're going to talk about music. What is music?
¿Y para qué es la música?
And for what is the music for?
Primero, tenemos... How should I start? Elementary. Okay. Primero vamos a hablar un poco del propósito de música.
First of all, we're going to talk about the purpose of music.
Música, primeramente, es para glorificar a Dios, para honrar a Dios.
Music primarily is to honor God and to glorify God.
Y después vamos a aprender un canto para hacerlo.
And then we're going to sing.
Later we're going to sing so we can actually put this into practice. I have been in the Dominican Republic, and the Spanish is a little bit different, too, than that of the States or of Mexico. So then I would teach them, let's see, where was I? Elementary school, we would probably go into the song first. I don't know if you want to learn a song. You want to learn a song? Okay. Entonces, van a repetir las palabras. You're going to repeat the words. Yo voy a decir las palabras primero, y después ustedes lo van a repetir. I'll say the words first, and then you'll say them. What's that? Okay, a really easy one. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. This means Jesus Christ is here. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Gloria a él. Gloria a él. This it means glory be to him. And then we vamos a repetirlo otra vez. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Gloria a él. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Gloria a él. Okay, ahora vamos a cantar. We're going to sing this part of it. Yo voy a cantar primero y después ustedes van a cantar. Do I even need to translate that? I sing first and then we all sing. Okay? Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí, gloria a él. Jesucristo está aquí, Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí, gloria a él. Okay? Eso pasa dos veces. We repeat this same phrase two times. First time it goes up, second time it goes down. Ahora para el coro, the chorus, aleluya, oh aleluya. Aleluya, oh aleluya. I don't need to translate that. Aleluya a Jesús. Aleluya a Jesús. Aleluya, oh aleluya. Aleluya a Jesús. Aleluya, oh aleluya. Aleluya a Jesús. Ahora el canto entero. We're going to sing the whole song. Or I'll sing it. No, yo voy a cantar la segunda parte y después vamos a cantar el canto entero. I'll sing the second part since you don't know the melody yet, and then we'll sing it, the whole thing. Aleluya, oh aleluya. Aleluya a Jesús. Aleluya, oh aleluya. Aleluya a Jesús. Okay, ahora vamos a cantarlo entero. Yo voy a contar a tres. I'm going to count to three. We start the whole song. Uno, dos, tres. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Gloria a él. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Gloria a él. Aleluya, oh aleluya. Alleluia, a Jesus. Alleluia, oh, alleluia. Alleluia, a Jesus. Ok, agora, eu notei que há alguns teus seres que não estão cantando. There are some of them that aren't singing. E há pontos de participação. There are points for participation in the class. There has to be. That's one of the only ways I can grade them. And in a school, they have to have a grade. Entonces, los que están atrás, que se están hundiendo atrás, those that are hiding in the back, hay que cantar más fuerte. Sing louder. Otra vez, otra vez. Uno, dos y tres. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Gloria a Él. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Jesucristo está aquí. Gloria a Él. Aleluya. Oh, aleluya. Aleluya. A Jesús. Aleluya. Oh, aleluya. Aleluya. A Jesús. Okay, this song is like I Believe the Bible. It goes through the entire gospel. I walked through the village one day and there were first graders out on the street singing this. Singing through all the verses. Anyway, that's like the first maybe half of my class because they are kids, so it takes a little bit longer to get that far. The other half of the class, I would start writing on the board. They would copy. Hay tres partes de música. To introduce music, there are three parts of music. Melodía, armonía y ritmo. Melody, harmony, and rhythm. And I would teach it like this to emphasize the importance of melody. For older classes, I might teach that it's what communicates with the spirit. It's like the spirit of the music. Harmony, which is communicates with the emotion. And rhythm, which basically communicates with the body. And that in this order, this is the order they should be in order of priority, and spiritually, also, the spiritual is the most important. Emotions, after that, need to be kept under control, and the rhythm is like the heartbeat. I could teach a whole class on this, but I don't think I better, because my classes are 45 minutes long. Does anybody have, is there time for questions? Are there questions? They're connected. The farm is in one fence and the school is in the next fence over. So I live on the farm side. No, they actually pay workers to come in, and actually that's where they've got several Haitian workers. So my apartment, the window right there is right on the way from the road to the barn, and I hear something that's not Spanish almost every morning walking by. I think it's something like French, maybe French, maybe Creole. Okay, there are some that are going regularly that's what they do. Others, I go sometimes, I don't always go. It kind of depends on what my responsibilities are with the music for a service. But they go in pairs. They always go in pairs. And one thing there is the people are very friendly. They're very warm and very hospitable. They pull out chairs. They are willing to talk to you, willing to listen. But a lot of the, especially the older folks in the village, nod their heads, say yes, and walk away unsaved because they're so steeped in tradition. There's the Catholic Church actually threatens them. If they're to change, this will happen. If they're to convert. So, yes, we do go in pairs, and this is... Did I tell you about Kalichi last time when I was here in December? Kalichi is the topping that we have on our road. It's hard as concrete when it's dry, but most of the time it's rainy, and it turns into a yellow mud that sticks to the bottom of your shoe. The more you walk, the more it sticks. And so by the time you get to the village, you're wearing half the road on your feet. And then you have to go back. It's just one of those things that one of those little sacrifices that people have to make when they're going to go out soul winning or even to invite people to church or just to walk home to their house. It took me a while to figure out why people were coming or not showing up for things when it was raining. It's because they have to walk everywhere from the village to the church. And one thing, I'm sorry, I'm taking up question time, but I just remembered one thing that seems to happen a lot is when we have a special service, we've gone out and invited a lot of people, and we're going to be giving an evangelistic message. Just as soon as we get back from that Sunday afternoon, from walking into town that Sunday afternoon, it starts raining and it starts pouring. And honestly, nobody who doesn't really, really, really want to come will come. And it's something that several times over has kept people out of church, the rain. But it's not just the rain. It's the rain at that particular moment. Because it can be dry 1 minute and then pouring and then dry again. So that's something that is probably just part of the spiritual warfare. It seems to happen when we have special services and when we're really trying to reach out. That's just something that happens. It rains and nobody comes. I have not had the opportunity to lead someone to the Lord yet. We've just started with the one-on-one thing that I've been able to do. The classes, it's basically group, and I'm able to give the gospel. I don't actually know. I know there were several students that did come to Christ, but I don't know if it was as a result of my ministry or not. It's just something I won't know for a long time. And one thing that I've been praying for is with this in the next year. Right now the instrumental classes are mainly in the church, but over the next year we'll start incorporating, pulling out students that could possibly do it, and this will mean one-on-one time with students. And that's where the great opportunity is, really, because I can give it out in general, but as far as being able to talk one-on-one, They're still learning to trust me. A lot of them still wouldn't open up to me. So it's just something that they told me it takes time. Okay. Mainly what they've got down there is merengue and bachata. And if you just listen to bachata, you would hear the backbeats probably. If you listen to merengue, or the traditional merengue, you wouldn't hear the backbeats, and you might wonder, why are they so adamant about not having this in the church? It's because of the association, because of how it started and what it was, not because of demonic backbeats, but just because that's the world's music and what it's about. again, I don't know. They were very, very quiet when I was giving the gospel. And a lot of them were nodding. I kind of talked about, I talked to those who were unsaved and I talked to those who were saved. And some of the ones who were already saved were saying they want to be the fruitful tree planted by the rivers of water. They want to be that. There were some that are unsaved and they're nodding their heads. We've heard this before. They've heard it all their lives, some of them. Not all of them, but some of them. And it's just something that they hear over and over again. And that's why I'm starting to feel that the personal, being able to develop a personal relationship with students through the individual classes is going to be very important. Because, like I said, they get it. It was a different way, and I think it caught their attention. But again, I won't know. I haven't been to any of them yet. I have to talk to them. I think, from what I understood last year, was everybody took me on for a year because that's what I said. So that's just, it just remains to be seen. Right. Over the past year, everybody that said they were going to support me supported me. I never lacked for anything. Lee. Oh, what food do I eat? Fried plantains. And if you don't know what plantains are, you ought to go to the J&J flea market and go look for them. Basically, a baking banana, and they're wonderful. Rice, a lot of beans and rice, chicken, beef, cornbread, beans, rice, and cornbread. Why does that sound familiar? They do use different spices, and I really like the food. Yuca, which is, okay, what's the word in English? A what? Cassava. Okay. It's a root. It's cooked like potato. And there's a couple of other ones, but mainly that's it. They do have meat turnovers that they'll make. I haven't mastered any of that yet in cooking. And all sorts of casseroles made with plantain and yuca. Those are staples for them. Do I eat anything else? What do I eat? Mango. The mangoes that fell on my roof. Lots of fruit. Lots of fresh fruit. Oh. I don't think I can explain that one. They make a dessert with beans, with pinto beans. Really?
Let's take a couple more questions, maybe if you have them, and then we'll move on.
Oh, I forgot. I've got a video clip on here of strings playing, of the string group playing for the first time. I don't know if you'd like to see it or not.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Are we quick? In Keyscana Baptist Church, and so we did the first one in that church on a Sunday morning when the church in Juan Tomas doesn't have music as part of their program in Sunday mornings, and we do our big service with music Sunday night, so I was able to go to both services. Okay, that was their first performance after 2.5 months. The interview, it was too long. There was, it, right. We did interview several of the students and their parents to just to find out if how it's made a difference in their life to be able to take music lessons. And like I said, Camila's mother said that she's more disciplined. They're all in it to glorify God. These are, like I said, up till now we've worked with kids in the church. So they're all in it to glorify God. And it's been a blessing to see that. And for the ones who have parents in the church, their parents are very supportive. For even for some of those, one young man that we have in our church, his parents are not in the church, but they're very supportive as well. If you want to know what instruments we might need, just come see me afterwards, or I don't know if I should run off a list now. Okay. Like I said, this particular Baptist church has 18 violin students and 5 violins. And so violins, violas, cellos, any kind of accessory, string accessory. Most of the violins, I don't know if you noticed, are not using shoulder rests. I don't know if any of them in this group were using them. So they don't have shoulder rests. I don't know if they all have rosin for their instruments. Most of these 5 violins here are $100 violins that are breaking, that are already breaking after a couple of months. So that particular church has a need for string instruments. Our church, we're kind of building the music program, and we're a little behind, but we have string players there as well. And at this point, we don't have more players than instrumental. Wait, we don't have more players than instruments, but it's growing. We're in need of guitars, guitar strings, anything having to do with guitars. A bass guitar, actually. The music in church on Sunday morning or Sunday night would usually be, instead of piano and organ, piano and guitars. Guitars playing the chords that you would normally hear on the organ, and the bass guitar here playing what you would hear on the pedal, doing that. So those are some of the instruments that we're in need of. I think there's two that want to learn how to play trombone. There's one trombone down there. We're looking into getting trombone mouthpieces to be able to pass the trombone around. But if anybody knows of anybody that's giving a trombone away or has one for sale at a reasonable cheap price, I would be interested in talking to them. So basically any instrument that you have, but those are some of the top priority instruments right now, and any kind of instrument accessories. No drums. I don't need to say it here, I think, but the Baptist church had, their pastor made the decision when they started getting it more into instruments that they weren't going to have any drums, that they weren't even going to go there. And we're not going there in Juan Tomas either. So, but basically, any kind of strings or winds. And that's it.
Amen. Thank you, Rebecca.